We invite you to visit Maserati Jacksonville today for a personalized luxury driving experience like no other. Plus, for a limited time, take advantage of our historically low interest rates. Visit online at MaseratiJacksonville.com.
Potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it!
How about them Jags?
I'm sick and tired.
This year hasn't gone exactly as we planned.
And unfortunately, I still love them, but it's so hard to hear from them.
Look, I'm pissed off today too about the Jags, but look, they're 1-15 last year. Trevor's going to be a star in the league.
And for my man, T-Lo. Man, y'all get off of T-Law.
Chicken, turkeys, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, creams, potatoes, tomatoes, beans, creams, beans, creams, beans, beans, beans.
I felt bad for Trevor, man. He's from that ball. It hurt him to his heart. And guess what? He's going to come back, and he's going to remember that for the rest of his life. The kid's a rookie. I'm not worried about this team. We're going to get it together. This team was 1-15 last year. And we got a defensive back playing wide receiver. So we just get off his back. Give him some time.
Yeah, I just love that guy, man. I mean, how do you not? The guy is it's all good. It's all work. It's all positive. Great things. That's why when you get your ass kicked, and there's going to be a day we don't get our ass kicked here. That's coming. I know that guy's going to be part of it, that 6 foot whatever he is quarterback.
And I'm telling you, what you're seeing right now is the future of a franchise that Trevor Lawrence is going to win 3 Super Bowls before he retires for the Jaguars.
Just want to give a shout out to all the fans. This year hasn't gone exactly as we planned, but you guys have came out every home game, supported us through thick and thin.
Where you go from here is just keep going to work. Everybody stay together, keep fighting. I know I will. I'm never going to quit. I know we got enough guys to turn this thing around, and it's up to us. We got to make that decision, so just got to keep working.
Trevor's going to show y'all that, guess what, through a bad situation, I'm going to prove that I am the super cat for the future.
He's growing up. He's already been a tough guy, and we got the right quarterback.
XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, David Garrard, and E to the T.
All right, good morning, everybody. It's Monday. Happy Monday to you, I suppose. I guess E, we went with that open because wah wah was busy. Could we not find wah wah?
I got L's, 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 L's.
I hope you counted to 9 there. I think he came up short on the L.
Right along it, yeah.
I think he got to about 7 L's, and close, he just faded out right there. David Garrard, welcome back after a one-week hiatus. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Had a great Thanksgiving.
Yeah?
Appreciate it, yeah.
Load up on the goodies?
I did. You know, I knew I needed to eat extra because I was thinking Sunday might not, you know, be as fulfilling.
Are you on a hunger strike until the Jags win? Is that what you're trying
I'm going to grow my beard.
My goodness. It's the winter beard.
Yeah.
You told us that you're going with right now. So.
But it's turning into the sad winter beard.
It's going to be a long, long, sad winter beard, apparently, at this point. If they can't beat the Atlanta Falcons, I know the Rams are struggling mightily, but the Rams got way more talent.
Yeah, I see them picking it up.
Right. I was talking to a friend, you know, over the Thanksgiving holiday about the expectations for the game against the Falcons, and I told him pretty plainly, I was like, Cordarrelle Patterson plays, the Falcons win. Mm. Like, that's the way I felt about it. That's
said it all week.
That's where we're at with this football team, is that Cordarrelle Patterson playing or not playing has that kind of effect on how I feel about the football game. But he was the only thing that was even sort of effective for the Falcons offensively throughout that entire game. Yesterday, they stopped Kyle Pitts. Like, they did everything else that you would need them to do. Matt Ryan was basically just standing back there. The pass rush wasn't great, but he's standing back there for 5 seconds to check it down.
Yep.
I mean, that's what he was doing throughout the entirety of the game, except Cordarrelle Patterson a couple of times burned you in the game. And offensively, this Jaguars team. DG. Like trying to figure out any kind of answers for how they're going to score points. I just don't see how they solve it.
Well, at least we knew Cordell Patterson. He's been doing it all year. Mm-hmm. So that is a little bit more understood. You would hope one guy wouldn't just smoke you like that. But
he would have had one less opportunity if we didn't commit a penalty on a field goal, and hand him 4 points.
Yeah, we got to be smarter than that. I think everybody in the league knows you can't jump over the line. I think that's been something that's kind of said.
That's not a new thing.
They didn't just implement that last week. So, yeah, we got to be better there. But offensively, you're right. And I will be honest. Like, I watched this game specifically just to watch the receivers and to see what kind of separation, see what kind of throws Trevor had to go to them. And I got to be honest. If it wasn't just zone coverage where they're just kind of sitting back there and trying to catch guys as they're running routes, nobody is running free. Nobody is separating themselves. I think we've been talking about that all year, and I've been hearing everybody talk about it. So I said,
went to the lab this week.
Yeah, I said, I'm going to just focus in on the receiver. So if you think about all those, incomplete passes where it's right there to the receiver, but it's also right there to the DB because the DB is sandwiched, is smothered, is, just covering the receivers so closely that it makes it almost impossible sometimes. And as a quarterback, you get a little deflated because you're like, man, I am putting the ball where it needs to be, but that DB just seems to be there every time. But then when you saw they did have opportunities when they were in zone and the receivers are open, he's able to find them. It's tough, especially when you're a rookie. When you're a vet, you can, do certain things to get guys a little bit more open and help them out a little bit. But when you're a rookie, you're just like, give me a chance to, put the ball on your chest and you make the catch. And hopefully the DB won't be right there behind you like they have been all year.
It truly is unbelievable. It's so frustrating watching other teams get guys open on third down and just, even if it's a check down, just so many wide open shots. I mean, Matt Ryan's sitting back there just turning. I thought the secondary did a really nice job, particularly in the first half of the game, limiting his shots down the field because he had plenty of time to find guys who were not guys to find. But still, like Tony said, Cordarrelle Patterson was enough of a difference maker. The one difference maker we feel like we have on offense is James Robinson.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard Hick say it this morning. I didn't realize the play count was as high as it was. After his fumble, he doesn't play for the next 16 offensive snaps. So here was Urban Meyer asked after the game if I've got the right cut there. I think I might have the wrong cut that I'm pointing to there. I was looking for I know what it is. Number 12, not number 8. Give me number 12 from Urban Meyer on if James Robinson's absence on the final first half drive was due to a fumble.
I think, you'd have to ask Bev and Bernie on that one. I don't micromanage that, but, Carlos is a good player too, so they might have had him in there for that reason.
You'll have to ask Bev and Bernie.
Oh.
Darrell Bevell and Bernie Parmalee, the offensive coordinator and running backs coach.
David, I'm not sure about you, but I was under the impression that Urban Meyer was in charge of the football team.
Yeah.
And might have some say in some decision at some point in time.
Or at least
about
something. Why the decision was made that he abdicated to somebody else. Like, I don't know. You'll have to ask them. Carlos is a very good player as well, who averaged 2.7 yards a carry yesterday compared to James's 5.1
Unreal.
Yards per carry. But I'm not sure. Maybe it was fumble. Maybe it was just time to come out. I don't know.
And Urban's not a defensive-minded head coach. He's an offensive-minded head coach. So that means he's mixing it up with the offensive coaches and not necessarily micromanaging the defensive guys. So you should know when your best player is not out there on the field and why.
Well, really, he's regarded as a great special teams coach, which, again, goes back to the field goal leverage play, which – handed 4 points to the Atlanta Falcons. And I get it. They won by 7, but the game can play out differently when you're trailing by a field goal instead of a touchdown. You don't necessarily – look, they didn't get the first down they needed to continue the drive regardless.
Yeah.
So maybe it wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, you put yourself in that position to be as close as possible. And, you know, I didn't think the defense was outstanding, but they were certainly much better than the offense yesterday. But that bar is pretty low.
Well, that seems to be the theme here in the middle part of the season for us, is that the offense is not keeping up for whatever reasons. It definitely has to do with us having a rookie quarterback. But that's just because he's not getting a ton of extra help when big plays are needed. You know, he's trying to do everything that he can, but, you know, there's not the right kind of guys out there. Like, when you're number one, which I guess is Marvin Jones,
mm-hmm.
is really like
sure.
a really good almost two, but really a great three, and that's your number one, and then yeah. you've got Tavon Austin, who came off the streets, who really never in his NFL career put together these amazing stats and, you know, just weapons all. So when you have guys that aren't even twos and threes really as your two and three, that's really hard as a rookie quarterback to try to make these amazing plays when guys aren't separating. Nope, they'd scare no one. So what reason does a DB have to even fall for certain things or to give cushions? There's no reason for that. They're going to just stick right there with them.
Right. If you were drafting the best wide receivers in the league, like if you got 32 GMs and you all you're doing is pulling the top receivers, you know, to build your wide receiver core, would the Jags have a receiver in the top 64? I don't know that they would.
I don't think
so. You know, I mean, possible that – I mean, I doubt it either, right? Because most teams have two guys that you'd automatically take. There may mm-hmm. be a few. There's a couple of situations like Detroit, who also are just really bad
yeah.
at the wide receiver position. But, I mean, that's maybe we get in a guy who's the lowest of low number two wide receivers in the league, and that's what you're building your wide receiver core around right now. So plenty of things to get into today, unfortunately. Most of them bad. Once again, not all of them, but most of them. Including some inexplicable coaching decisions or non-decisions, abdications of, I don't know, ask Bev and Bernie. I mean, this is going to be rattling around in my head now for the rest of the season. Bev and Bernie, Tony and I were joking earlier this morning, it's like some bad sitcom on some B-list cable channel.
From the 80s.
What kind of hijinks will they get into this week? Ask Bev and Bernie.
Thursdays at 8.
Thursdays at 8. I mean, just come on. Really? I don't know. Just ask these guys. Why wasn't our best player playing? I don't know. You ask some other people.
No, as a head coach, you should be on top of that.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, what are we doing here? All right. If you'd like to get in today, God bless you. All right, first of all, 641-1010. Hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving holiday, first and foremost. Don't let the Jaguars take that away from you. 641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line, which is designed by Lifetime Enclosures. You can hit us up on Twitter. The question of the day brought to you by Maserati Jacksonville is simply, what is your reaction to the Jags 21-14 loss to the Falcons? On Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9, and at IME2, the T.
Come on, somebody.
Please come on, somebody, and save us here. 2-9, go the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll talk about it with you for the next 2 hours. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Dropping again is Ryan, looking. Fires, this ball is going to be picked off by Tyson Campbell. He intercepted it near the 49-yard line of the Falcons with 17 seconds to play in the half.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, nice game by Tyson Campbell yesterday.
Sure.
You know, some individuals can have good performances even when all else is going bad around them, or a lot else is going bad around them. So congrats to him. He was our Jaguar Radio Network Player of the Game yesterday. Got his first interception, broke up three passes, including that pick. So
it was a nice
that
pick.
Was nice. It was a nice pick, right?
He turned his head around.
Yeah, he did. Like, he found the ball. He made a play on the ball in the air, like what we've been waiting for, right? So good for him. Hopefully that's a sign of more things to come.
Yeah, and you mentioned it in the open, but the pass defense yesterday was really good, especially considering their best corner wasn't playing.
Right. Now, right. Granted,
Atlanta doesn't threaten you much, but they didn't threaten you at all.
They really didn't. Threw for 190 yards, and, you know, some of that was just Russell Gage sitting down, like, in the middle of the zone, like, getting easy
just took too long.
It did.
Pass rush wasn't good enough to affect it. Yeah.
There were a few times where Matt Ryan was just sitting back there.
Just
and I'm like,
scanning.
That first sack, he sat back there for 10 seconds and still didn't do anything. I'm like, bro, you can run. You can throw it away. Like, you got all kinds of options here. No, I'm going to wait for Roy Roberts.
To make a play. I love it. Like, you know, that's all I can think of now anytime his name gets mentioned, Roy Roberts. And by the way, you described it as the first sack. You could have described it as the last sack, the only sack. A lot of ways you could have described that sack. But that's
I figured there was some more mixed in there.
That's
but
fine.
I
you
guess
know, all,
not.
The, all these things are actually the same.
That was the one.
First, last, and only. All right. You know, Sam and Nocatee is going to lead us off today. We got phone lines loaded, so let's get to them. But I know he's going to talk about a particular play that we have not mentioned yet, and it is inexplicable to me. So let's hear what Sam has to say to lead us off today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Sam. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
We're doing well. Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, I have never called him before, but I yesterday fired me up pretty good. I know there were a lot of mistakes made, but the one player, Taylor, our right tackle, there were a couple plays. I've never really been one to follow a player. I normally follow wherever the ball is.
Sure.
You know, I'm like every other fan pretty much. Okay, well, for some reason I made the mistake of watching Taylor. I watched him on one play. It looked like he thought he had a false start, and he kind of popped up and just stood there, and his guy, the left end, just went right around him, right to Taylor. And I was like, oh, my God. I mean, not to Taylor, to
Dude, Lawrence, yeah, we got you. Thanks. Right. No.
Okay, and then
– yeah, go ahead.
So then I started watching him the rest of the game, and – he had that false start when we were first and goal, and then he got burned like every play. I'm like, man, I'm not doing that again. I'm not watching players anymore. It's very upsetting.
Well, yeah. But, pick
you got to watch better players.
Watch
you
James Robinson, and you generally won't be disappointed. But that's like watching the ball, too. But now the play he's talking about is
ignorance
the one
is bliss,
where they've got Dario Ogunbowale in the game. And, like, I'm not – like, I don't – guys come in and out of games, okay? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not that upset that Dario Ogunbowale got a snap or two in this football game, right?
It's might just, have scored.
He might have if Juwan Taylor doesn't just stand up straight, turn his head like he's looking back to see, like, hey, what are you guys going to do on this play? Because I'm not going to block. So this will be interesting to see how Trevor handles me not blocking my guy. So he turns around to look to see his guy go right around him, because, of course, he's not blocking him, and forces Trevor to make a bit quicker throw than he would like.
Yep.
And it's just on the outstretched fingertips of Dario Ogunbowale. Probably maybe could have caught the ball anyway, but if Trevor has just a half beat of time, he hits him in stride, and he can turn it up, and he has a really good chance to score on that play. And I don't know. What was he? Did he think he? I mean, how do you just assume I committed a penalty? I'm going to stop. The whole rest of the play is going on. It's like last week when you got Logan Cook not on the field. The other 10 guys knew they were supposed to be on the field for the punt. Like, what is going on with this football team?
Don't know. Really looking forward to asking Bev about it later in the week, though.
What about Bernie?
Exactly. What
not really his.
On that
maybe
play.
Georgie will tell you about that. Bev and
but
Georgie.
As a quarterback, David, when you have that kind of play where one of the guys on your offensive line basically just doesn't participate, right? And we're talking a goal line situation. You're a team that can't score. So it's one of your rare opportunities to even have a chance at some points in a game. I mean, what is the conversation between quarterback and right tackle at that point?
Well, first of all, that just, like, is the epitome of our season right there. That right there is just, if you want to go back and look at the 2021 season and have a play that just really gives you an idea how things went, that one right there is pretty much it. How do you not do anything after the fact that the ball is snapped? Like, you should just turn, run the guy over on his heels, anything, something more than just stand there and think, oh, why are you guys still playing? I think I might have jumped off sides here. Who? Bro, like, don't just – nobody. They always tell you, don't just turn and look around. Do something.
Right.
The play is still going.
Well, A, they might not call it. B, you're going to get your quarterback killed.
Yeah.
There's so many different reasons why
it's
you
not a
play
practice
it out.
Rep.
And by the way, to be fair – to Juwan Taylor, it wasn't a false start. It was holding. He got the full 10-yard penalty on first and goal from the 6.
Yeah.
Later in the – I mean, they were moving the ball at this point, right? I mean, they were really starting – they're down 10, but I felt like they're about to punch it in, and who knows what happens then. And again, you know, it doesn't mean they would have won the football game, but I would have liked to have seen them get that opportunity. But they get it down to the 6-yard line, first and goal. Juwan Taylor holding, backs him up 10 yards. And
I mean, these are just terrible mental mistakes. They're not even, you know, good football plays where, you know, you happen to make a mistake. Holding
on a run.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, these things should never happen. And somebody like that, like, you shouldn't last long when you have those kind of errors. You want to take out James Robinson and leave him on the sideline because I got to carry the ball, you know, 1,000 times this season and I happen to fumble it one time. So I get to sit on the bench, but this guy out here is getting our quarterback killed, not giving us an opportunity to make plays. I had a wide open running back running a nice, easy route. That should be an easy completion, but now I've got to throw the ball a tick early, try to take some off, try to make sure, because his head's not even turned around, and you're asking a running back to make a one-handed grab or even a shoelace grab. Like that, all my coaches have always said, you got to put it right on the number, right in the breadbasket for running backs. Like, don't make them stretch anywhere. Most guys. Now, you get some that are pretty good, but somebody like that who's just coming off the bench to run one route and probably is going to come out right after it, don't ask me to make some crazy catch. And that's all due to my right tackle making a bonehead play by not even making a play.
Yeah, totally. Thank you for the call to get us started there. Let's head up to Cincinnati. Ryan, next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, good morning, fellas. How y'all doing?
All right. What's on your mind today, man?
I was going to mention something about Urban, but y'all already kind of like already covered it. But that Dewey Winger, you know, he don't want no smoke when it comes to meeting a running back in the hole. It's like, his angles is horrible. I mean, he just whiffed so much. I mean, a lot of them points was really on him. If we had a for sure enough safety like a Donovan, you know what I'm saying? It wouldn't even have been a score. Twice. He whiffed twice. He did that back in Tennessee with Henry, too. He just whiffs a lot. Why is he out there?
Good question. You know, I mean, like we've been – Andre Sisco's healthy enough to play, so there's got to be something in practice where Andre Sisco is not giving him confidence to put him out there for a larger role.
Yeah, yesterday was a little bit more blatantly obvious to me that he was not up to snuff on certain plays. Like when you're a safety coming downhill, you've got to have the right angle, and you've got to get the guy on the ground. It's an open field tackle. Make the play. Now do some – running backs do that to, you know, any and all defenders sometimes? Yes, but there were multiple times where I'm watching him and he's just not getting there, where he has an opportunity to make a play, not on the ball necessarily, but to get over there and cause a guy to have an incompletion. He's just yesterday was the first time I was like, ooh, was that Wingard again?
Was it the Keith Smith? The one who just –
Yeah, the fullback.
Well, like I said, that's going to happen
sure
to a few safeties out there. You got some that are going to come up and make a stick. But that wasn't the only one, and I noticed it just by watching the game.
But I think that is easier for people to, like – sometimes you watch it from a football player's perspective mm-hmm. where you're like, I know this guy's supposed to be over here, and he's supposed to be the help. And so you can maybe tell sometimes when he's more out of position than the average person can. When you're coming up and the fullback just plants you in the ground with his left arm, just like get out of my way, it becomes like the symbol of your frustration. I think with Andrew Wingard.
To make my position clear, I would have played Andre Sisco weeks ago.
Yeah,
right. Like I would have gone to that. Let's see what we have in this kid. He's healthy enough to play. Let's play him. But the defense is playing really well right now, and the secondary had a good game yesterday. And I get it, we're talking about a couple plays where Winger didn't necessarily make the ideal play in a situation, but the secondary's been playing well enough that I can see defensive coaches looking at it saying, no, we're not upsetting this apple cart right now. It's the only thing we have going for us. I would still make the switch.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to see what our third-round pick looks like on the field because we're going to need him sooner rather than later to be an impact player for us. But I can understand coaches, football coaches, looking at it saying, We're trying to be the best we can be right now, today. This guy gives us our best chance in the moment.
And that may be the case, but to just simply go off of, well, I don't want to upset the apple cart.
I hear you.
I mean, the apple cart is already destroyed.
The apples are rotting.
The apple cart's laying on the side of the road in a ditch, and maggots everywhere. So,
you know how it is with coaches.
I do.
They just don't see the world the same way.
But I'm just like, look, we're at a point now where we're probably not going to make the playoffs. I hate to burst anybody's bubble, but probably not.
It's not eliminated
yet.
That
does
not
chance.
Open draft talk, people.
I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying I'm going to open up the talk of putting Cisco out there so we can see what we have. And it's an opportunity to where you can actually mix them in. Like, you don't have to say, all right, you're starting 100% all the snaps. Like, if we've got to sub you out because there is a reason why you haven't played all year, but we want to give you that game time experience. There's no point in holding back now. Let's get our young guys out there, give them opportunities, and if he's stinking up the joint, then we can put Wingard back out there. But we got to give him a chance to get out there and get some game starts.
Totally with you.
All right, let's get Chris on the south side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. What's going on? How you doing?
What's up, man?
All right. Yeah, you talked about it earlier. This wide receiver issue we got going on, especially this guy, Chenault. I think 2 weeks into it now, we haven't seen the version of Chenault that we wish between Debo and Patterson, that kind of multi-break tackles wide receiver that Chenault obviously isn't. I'm in the pool of let's see what we can get for him. Honestly, I think at this point, it's to the point now where the receivers that we ask who do we keep next year is probably Marvin Jones, Dan Arnold, and Agnew. And that's kind of a bad sign, but I'll take comments off that.
It's not incorrect to say that's a bad sign.
That is
absolutely right sign. Here's the problem. What are you going to get for LaVisca, right? I mean, by NFL standards, he is inexpensive labor, right? I mean, he's a second-round pick out of rookie contract.
Yep.
He does have some talent. To me, the difference with Debo and Cordarrelle Patterson, you put those guys, the three of them in a 40-yard dash, and Chenault's looking at the back of their jerseys.
Yeah,
man, because,
absolutely.
I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson is, like, legit, like, sprinter
burner,
speed.
Yes.
Burner speed.
At his size, I mean, it's crazy.
Incredible, right?
It seems like he's been doing it forever,
One
too.
Of the best kickoff returners in the game.
Yeah.
All right, I mean, you've got to have speed if you're going to be a kickoff returner. And Debo is quick and fast.
Yeah.
He's both. I don't feel like Chenault is either one of those. You know, he's powerful.
Yeah.
And that can work. And, I mean, he was the one on the third and 22.
He was on the crossing route.
Which was great.
Right. It's that they seem to have moments where they figure out for a second, for a rep. This is the way we should use this guy. Run him out of the backfield. You know, do those kind of things. And then they'll line him up outside again and say, go run a hitch.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
This is not who he is. It's not the kind of player he is. What are we doing?
Because,
like, what is the scheme with this guy?
Because you can't just bring him in for just gadgets alone.
Sure.
Defenses will pick that up, and they're like, oh, Chenault's in.
Every time Debo's in the backfield, they run the damn ball with him. And
they can't stop him.
They can't stop him.
But Debo is also out there at receiver running routes and catching the ball. So you go to the one where it was late in the game. I think it was the last drive. I think it was the last play.
It's the last play.
Last play. He's 6 yards deeper than the outside receiver. They were running the same route.
Yeah.
Why he went so deep, and Trevor's like, bro, I got to throw this off timing. You're the guy right there. Those are the examples of why he's not doing as well. Like, I'm down on him for those reasons, and there's probably more of them that we just don't see. And so we're just like, why don't they get the ball to Chenault? Well, he's not running the routes correctly.
Right.
So he's not able to shine where Debo and Cordell, because Cordell was lining up at receiver too. I'm like, man, how in the hell do they have their running back also running corner comebacks and all kinds of stuff?
Because he's not really a running back. Right, he's built like a wide receiver, a huge wide receiver, and they just figured out a good mix of how to use his skill set. Finally, or give Arthur Smith credit because he has unlocked the key to Cordarrelle Patterson this year. Unfortunately for the Falcons, he has, because he's the key to their entire offense now. But it's that one crossing pattern. And we're like,
why
oh
the
my
one?
God, they ran a crossing pattern.
Right.
Like,
why
we couldn't
one?
Believe it. And, oh, but, you know, just for the record as well, it is frustrating when a receiver gets a ball thrown to him short of the sticks on third down. But they're trying to take away the sticks and beyond, right? Mm-hmm. And so this was an example of you can hit a guy short of the first down. You're still allowed to have a well enough designed play that sets him up with good blocking downfield to convert a third and 22. I mean, it's the best play of the day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's too bad we could pick that out so easily.
So that's where now it comes down to coaching and the scheme. You got to be better at drawing up plays to get guys open. It just seems like the coaching staff is always relying on the receivers, run down there, run the route, and that will win. No, we got to get picks and rubs, and this scheme is going to get you open because this is how they play defense, and we know that if we run this combination of routes, this guy is going to be open.
You better check in with Bev and Sanj on that, though, on how you want to run those receivers.
It doesn't have the same ring.
It doesn't, but I'm just trying to be specific to the position
Sanj.
Group. So Sanj is coming on. You know, we determined maybe it would be that Bev and Bernie would come on after a 4-episode marathon of Mork and Mindy on some, you know, old, I don't know who plays the old sitcoms. There are a bunch of them out there, but it would probably be on after that at like 2 a.m.
Nick at Night.
Way.
Nick at Night is what they're
whenever
on.
The Goldbergs are on, because every time you ever see commercials for the Goldbergs, it's always on like 3 a.m. or some nonsense like that. That's when Bev and Bernie are hanging out. All right, 641-1010. We'll get back to your calls right out of the break, so stick around. More to do here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We go quickly here. Trevor dropped the throw. Looking, fires toward the back of the end zone. That ball is caught for the touchdown. Tavon Austin went up and got it, and Jacksonville is in the end zone.
Everything you need to know about the Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, not enough of that, obviously. Need more touchdowns, need more points, need more wins, need a lot of everything. Jaguars fall 21-14 to the Falcons. Your reaction, always welcome on a Monday, so let's get back to it here. Alan is out of Jacksonville Beach at 641-1010. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
DJ, you touched on it before the break, but I'm watching the game. It's 4th and 10 when we're trying to drive and win the game. We're in a 3-by-1 set. Chenault, number 2 receiver, and it looks like Trevor throws it right at the sticks, and he's supposed to run a stick route against his own coverage, and Chenault runs 5 yards past the first down marker. And is that something y'all noticed, and is that more of an indication of we don't know situational football? We're making a lot of little bitty mistakes and big mistakes.
Yeah, he's supposed to run the same route the guy on the outside ran. I mean, it's just double sticks right there. It might have been triple sticks, you know, and you're taught if it's a 8 or 9 yard route, but the sticks are 10, you can push it up that extra yard so that when you make the catch, if you get tackled, you're right there at the sticks and hopefully we got a chance. But not 5 and 6 yards. That's why Trevor had to throw it. He didn't have to throw it so early, but he threw it because it's a timing route, and the ball fell. But it makes the quarterback look like he's super inaccurate, but it's the receiver running too far down the field.
It's 4th down. There is no next play.
You can't run it 5 yards.
Right.
You have to get the sticks and give us a chance.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to give us a chance. And the way LaVisca ran that route, they had no chance.
Yeah, and Chenault's a big, strong guy. So even if he catches it 0.5 yard short, he can then turn and stretch out at least to get the first down. Like, you're just giving yourself a chance. But if you run 5 yards past where you're supposed to be, no quarterback is going to sit there and wait for you because they don't know what you're doing now. Now they think you're running a go route.
Oh, this might be interesting. Let's listen. Trevor Lawrence, after the game yesterday, talked about breaking down each play on that final drive, including that play where Chenault ran past the first down marker.
Yeah, first play, we ran threw a flat route to Oshag, and then to the 2-minute warning, and then after that, incomplete on a check down, I believe, in that one. That just happened. So then we got third down conversion to Marv. And then from there, we just first, second down, didn't get anything going. Third down, we had the route across the middle to Tread that I thought I would have liked a PI call there, but tough, just didn't convert that. Then fourth down, they've been giving us some tough looks all day, and I think that's something I can learn from. I didn't think I diagnosed it great, you know, just learning from that, going back and watch the film, like what are the tells for this certain defense, you know, because that's what people – it's a copycat league. You know, people are going to look at that and try to do some of the similar stuff. So just a lot of stuff I can learn from. You know, as a young player, every week there's been a lot of things to learn from, and there's definitely some on that last drive and down in the red zone earlier in the game. We need to be more efficient, and that starts with me. So this will be a good one to watch and learn a lot from and communicate with the guys, because we got a lot of things to just to clear up.
This is in part why I'm still not losing confidence in Trevor Lawrence's
Absolutely.
Future. Is that he stands up there, and no matter what happened with Chenault on that route, things I need to learn from. It's all about Trevor Lawrence's mistakes.
Did you see how he got away from even calling out that last play there?
Yep.
He did that because there was nothing else to say other than he ran too far, but I'm not going to throw him under the bus like that. So there's a lot I can learn from. And
talking about defense giving us different looks.
Yeah, he went over every other play and then stopped on that play, because I'm not going to call my boy out. And even on the play where it was to Treadwell, that ball was behind him.
Right.
Like, yeah, you can get P.I. because you threw it back there towards the D.B., put it in front of him, and now he has a great chance because you got a big, tall receiver that can go up and make a play for you.
I do wonder if Treadwell gets more and more involved now, because if you got guys that don't get separation, probably doesn't hurt to have a big-bodied guy who can win contested catches, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
If you're going
to have a defensive back hanging on you, it's better to have a frame like Laquon Treadwell.
There's a couple things there. So Ernest Wolford did not have blazing speed when he was here playing receiver. But I could throw the ball around him somewhere, and his basketball background and everything, he was going to use his body to make that catch, strong hands, and come down with it. Great possession receivers, what you call those kind of guys. Then you have somebody where a great touchdown throw to Austin in the back of the end zone, but you don't usually run that route with a guy that's, what, 5'10", 5'11", maybe?
With Visca?
Not usually, no. Austin. With Tavon, yeah.
Oh, Tavon, yeah.
Because you got to throw it up over the defense.
Right.
He made a –
He's a great play.
Yeah. He ran that route, and he got separation, which is why he was able to make that. But that's usually somebody 6 feet and up, because you've got to throw it up over the defense. So, yes, Treadwell should absolutely get used more. I watched him run his routes, and he's not getting that kind of separation. But, yes, he is a big body, and a big body for a quarterback looking for someone to get the ball to definitely helps.
Ian Rappaport tweeting out a few minutes ago, Jaguars tight end Dan Arnold suffered a grade 2 MCL sprain, according to sources, knocking him out for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So based on the calendar, that could
basically
be the end of the season.
Yeah, could
we'll
be
see
the
if
year.
He's back for the last week
he's
or two.
A nice find there for a while. All of a sudden, O'Shaughnessy couldn't be better timing in terms of having him back. It's not like they were going to play them both together a ton, I don't think, with Manhurst still going to be in a lot of those base packages, but just a damn shame, man. I mean, I would not want to be the Jaguars' most productive pass catcher because it apparently gets you in trouble.
It's been a rough ride.
In terms of injuries.
It would have been great having two pass catching receivers, tight ends out there, so that nobody can just key on, it's Manhurst and Dan Arnold. Well, we know Arnold's running the route,
right.
So we're going to make sure we cover him with our best guy. But if you got two guys there now you can't just settle on one guy, because both guys can run good routes.
Is run blocking tight end a Pro Bowl position?
Never seen that before.
Let's get Mike on the south side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Jaguar Nation. How you doing?
We're all right. How are you?
Okay. Listen, I'd like to make an offer to Jaguar Nation. If we don't deserve after 12 years to have an offensive genius like Urban Meyer, who brought offensive to college football at University of Utah and Florida, and make it what they were. If we can't have a coach like that, we're not willing to get involved in an offensive Jaguar scheme and have our best running back on the field for just less than half the plays in the game. I am willing, if he doesn't want to be here, and he's too lazy to do it, I am willing to spend my money on plane tickets for him and his wife to go back to Ohio.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mike wants you to send him, ship him out. He's not alone, first one who's offered to put his own cash on the line.
I will say this. So Bevel's been in the league for a while now, and I'm sure he's had some pretty good offenses, and people didn't think he was incompetent being able to call plays and scheme up stuff and
until they didn't hand it to Marshawn.
Yeah, that is a good point. But they did make it to the Super Bowl.
I understand.
Willie Bird.
So I would be – I'd be happy to be in the Super Bowl and have the option of win it here on hand it off or throw it.
Yes.
So, but he also had weapons to be able to call up. So you can run whatever scheme you want. You can call whatever plays you want when you've got dogs out there that will make the plays for you. It makes it a little easier, even if you just call super basic plays.
Well, then who's the biggest culprit here? Is it Trent Baalke as a GM for not putting enough talent on this roster? Is it Urban? Because we know Urban is in charge of everything. I mean, ultimately, Urban Meyer is in charge of everything, including the front office, as far as I'm concerned. If it's not Bevel because he's limited on what he has to work with, but it's these stupid mistakes. If the players were playing up to their potential and not making, like Marvin Jones, I mean, we love the guy, but come on, you can't line up incorrectly on that play. I mean, it's 2nd and 7. You're at the 35-yard line of the Falcons. Best case scenario, you're going to get a 5-yard penalty there, and now you're basically out of field goal range unless you pick up another 10 yards or so.
But look, there's mistakes being made all over the league. Guys make mistakes.
Sure.
Guys hold. Guys flinch on the line of scrimmage.
Lamar Jackson threw 4 picks last night, but they overcame it.
Exactly. So you can make mistakes. It's just, are you overcoming the mistakes? Mm. And are the mistakes happening at the worst inopportune time? Those are the problems. But then also, are you making plays? Like, we made Marvin Jones's one-hand catch.
Great play.
Amazing. Great play. But we're calling out 2 and 3 plays here and there, and then we're relying on our running back who's getting 5 yards a clip but also isn't a home run hitting running back. So it's asking your quarterback to continue to make play after play after play with guys that aren't making their own plays when the ball gets in their hands. They're making the catches when they have to. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're running the wrong route. Like, you can't have all those mistakes and then have subpar skill guys that aren't able to overcome those mistakes.
All right, let's get one more in on this side. Jeremy in Morristown, Tennessee, next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Okay, what's up, man?
Hey, I just had one quick question / comment, I guess. I know Urban is a rookie NFL head coach and we got a rookie quarterback, but why did we get rid of everybody last year, including, a quarterback, if this is what our offense is going to look like?
Because nobody goes, hey, you know what? Our offense is going to be god-awful next year. They think it's going to be better. They went 1-15 last year.
Yeah.
You clean house when you go 1-15, especially if those guys have been around for a while.
Yeah.
New guy coming in is going to get a little bit more leeway, Dave. And, oh, by the way, they've won 2. Okay, I'm not, it's better than 1, but.
New coach is going to bring in new guys. You're not going to keep the same old guys because those same old guys are a part of the reason of why they were losing so much. So you're going to bring in new guys and hope those new guys can bring in a new mindset, new attitudes, all those kind of things. Now, I will say this. They didn't break the bank this year because, honestly, they knew they weren't going to be all that great. They thought we'll be serviceable. Maybe we can be closer to 500, somewhere around there, and build for the future. So I know they did not want to spend on all these skill positions with the rookie quarterback. Hey, let's get some guys in here. We've got Shark. We've got Chenault, we've got Jones, so we've got guys that can make enough plays for us, but those guys aren't making enough plays. Chark isn't here, and we don't have anybody now to rely on, but they're still kind of banking for the future, and a future starts next year.
All right. I got a thought about James Robinson and why the staff may not have been enamored with him. As I was listening to the drill this morning, it's like the light bulb went off over my head. So we'll get to that coming up. More of your reaction to the Jaguars' latest loss, 21-14 to the Falcons yesterday. So keep them coming in on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010, or hit us up on Twitter. Your Maserati Jacksonville question of the day, just simply ask, what is your reaction to the Jags' latest loss? It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jacks Beach.
Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy has reportedly tested positive for COVID and will not be available to coach for the Cowboys when they play again on Thursday Night Football this week. Minnesota Vikings running back Dalvin Cook left their loss against San Francisco. He was carted off the field with a shoulder injury. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer said after the game that he will be undergoing an MRI. He's already playing with a torn labrum in the opposite shoulder from the one that got hurt yesterday. San Francisco wide receiver Debo Samuel suffered a groin injury. He is expected to undergo further testing today to determine the extent of that injury. Carolina running back Christian McCaffrey rolled his ankle. Panthers head coach Matt Rhule said that CMC tried to get back on the field, but that he just wasn't at the same level following the injury. He was seen leaving the stadium in a walking boot in that game, by the way. Carolina benched quarterback Cam Newton after he was 5 for 21 for 92 yards with two interceptions. He did have a rushing touchdown. 64 of those 92 yards came on one play to DJ Moore in their loss yesterday. Green Bay quarterback Aaron Rodgers will be undergoing tests on a broken toe that he is playing through. Surgery could be an option in regards to the injury, but he is not expected to miss any time with or without the surgery over the last month and a half of the season. Cleveland Browns right tackle Jack Conklin left Sunday Night Football during the first quarter with what appeared to be a serious knee injury. Conklin will be undergoing further testing today. And Week 12 in the NFL wraps up tonight with the 3-7 Seattle Seahawks at the 4-6 Washington Football Team. For Washington, wide receiver Curtis Samuel, who signed with the team in free agency this past offseason, has only been able to play in two games this year because of a groin injury. He is expected to play in at least a limited role tonight.
I need Antonio Gibson and Terry McLaurin to miss the plane. Problem is, it's a home game for Washington.
Oh.
So I don't think they're going
to
take a
so
plane.
So you need them to take a plane somewhere.
To the game. I need them to get on a plane.
Vacation trip.
To Seattle and be ready to take on the
Seahawks. Where is everybody?
What happened? Where's the 12th man at?
I don't know. Jags have made a few of those trips to Seattle where, like, at the end of the day, they looked around and go, why didn't we get on? Oh, we did take the plane to Seattle.
Why did we take the plane?
Happened
to
this
Seattle?
Year. Or yeah. You can go back and it happened. What was that? Oh, was it the 2008, 2009 debacle?
No, we don't want to go back
yeah.
that far.
Yeah. I love Mike Sims Walker, but Mike. Can't be missing curfew, all right?
That's true, too.
All right. Let's get back to the phone lines and go to Michael on the north side, checking in next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Michael.
What's up, fellas? The caller, Mike, earlier kind of took my thunder a little bit with Urban, but I just wanted to say, like, never seen Urban have this offensive ineptitude, and I understand you aren't privy to a lot of the stuff in the NFL, but how long are you going to just sit here hunched over your hands on your knees, like just watching this crumble up? You know, I understand not micromanaging and delegating your work to your offensive coordinator, but at some point you just got to shut it down and just take over. Also, a friend of mine was pretty buzzed yesterday when we were at the game, and she was just like, oh, have we gotten rid of that one guy with the long hair? What's his name? Winifred? And she was talking about Wingard, and I think that pretty much encapsulates Andrew Wingard.
All right. At least she wasn't talking about that long-haired quarterback that we have, because I want to keep him around as well.
Doing.
Thank you, Michael, on that one. Look, I mean, Urban, we talk about it. It's so frustrating. How many deep dives is he going to do on the NFL game? You know, at what point is he going to be comfortable? At some point, like, I mean, again, you don't want everybody micromanaging every single aspect. And I would imagine the coaching staffs like the fact that, okay, you're going to trust us to do our thing, but there can't be this level of disconnect, Dave. Why did this happen? Why didn't this happen? I don't know. Like, what exactly? Who are you talking to for those 3 hours on Sunday? Like, who, other than, you know, I see him celebrating with the players when they come off after they make some good plays, and that's fine. But who? What's the communication like on that sideline, or is there any communication on that sideline?
We got Roy Roberts.
It seems like there's very little communication on the sideline, because when, like I said, you got to put something on your coordinator and quarterback coach or line coach. Like, that shouldn't be. You should know what's going on. You got the headset on just like them.
Yeah.
You can ask the question, hey, where's James Robinson? Is he good? We need to get him back out there. Shouldn't be 16 plays later he goes trotting out there. So he has to – I've said it all year. He's learning this year. He's a rookie coach. But you're supposed to be learning and getting much better and faster because you've been coaching as a grown man for a long time. Yes, it was in the collegiate – arena, but that doesn't matter. You're still coaching guys in the NFL. They actually understand more and can handle more. So he needs to stop just delegating stuff to guys. Stop thinking that he's not going to micromanage guys. And we're not saying micromanage guys, but stop feeling like you got to pass the buck when you get in these press conferences. Because it makes you look like you don't know what is going on.
Even if that's not the case, way it's being presented.
Exactly. So like that's why I think he also has to learn the press conference. Maybe he just needs to pull a book out of Belichick's library.
Nothing.
Just say nothing.
Which, okay. It'd be a bummer that we're not getting any information, but whatever. I don't need the information. Figure out a way to win games. And we've been joking around about him passing the buck on the question about James Robinson all morning. And we also played the clip from Trevor Lawrence. And we talked about, he had an opportunity at the end of that whole discussion to say something about what happened with LaVisca on that play. And he said, you know what? It's on me.
Yep.
I got to figure out a way to be better. They did. The defense kind of confused me a little bit in that moment. I got to learn from that and get better. And it's that Urban, with his rookie quarterback who's learning on the job as well this year, he's going to stand up there and say, look, I'll take the bullet, while his head coach goes up there and says, ask somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not even that it's their fault or whatever. It's like, I don't know.
I don't know. Just take the blame.
And I could get, you wouldn't know every single thing because there's a lot of moving parts. You can't know every single thing that every person did on the field. But when you're clearly your best player, your best option on offense, isn't in the game for that extended period of time, you got to have a clue.
We wanted to give him a blow. We wanted him to understand that you got to protect the ball. But I should have got him back on the field sooner.
Right.
That is my fault. That's what
he
just said.
It was possible, hey, maybe they had a workload target for him because he's not 100%. And he got 20 touches.
He looked gimpy on different plays.
He didn't look 100%. And maybe that was – so I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt in the post game yesterday because I hadn't heard his comment about, I don't know, ask Devin Bernie. Okay, again, Thursdays
they're
at 8.
They're getting up to those hijinks, man.
What's the one?
They're on Nick at Night.
No.
Paramount?
Oh, TV Land?
TV Land.
Yeah.
TV Land. Nick and Knight's here.
Okay, TV Land.
Without me, you're down here, right? All right, let's go to Greg on the north side next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Greg.
Morning, guys. I was at the game yesterday. I've a season ticket holder for 20 years. The one thing that's starting to get really discouraging is the fact that it seems like every game we go to now, more and more, there are a presence of the opposing team fans just it seems to be engulfing our stadium. Even fans that don't travel, like the Niners. I mean, who the heck would ever think the Niners are a traveling team? Yet they were just dominating our stadium, and it's discouraging. I want to ask this question. I'm going to be just no sarcasm. How long do you think it's going to take to rebuild the roster, which is just a joke? I mean, we've got maybe four core players, and the rest of it is just a dumpster fire. I want to hear your answer off the air. I'm thinking 3 years.
I mean, because it's been in a perpetual rebuild, right? I mean, here's the question. Are they going to make the right decisions? If you have the most cap space, which they're among the leaders if they're not at the top, and you are going to have decent draft picks. I mean, right now they'd have the third pick in the draft, I think, although that will be, the head-to-head with the Jets and Houston's going to determine the 2, 3, and 4, it looks like. Well, you're going to have a top 5 pick in the draft in every round. You got some extra late picks. You've got all this capital. What are you going to invest it on? Are you going to say, hey, I know this kid's family. He comes from a great family. Let's draft him in the 5th round. And now he's inactive as a healthy scratch in Luke Farrell. And I'm not trying to pick on Luke Farrell, but this is an example of, we're all excited. Oh, Andre Sisco looks like he's going to be a steal. Can't get on the field. Did they pick the right guy? I don't know. It's too early to tell. But tell me who they're, you know, tell me how effective they're going to be at identifying the right talent and wooing them here. I mean, you could turn things around, I believe, quicker than, than certainly, I mean, Jaguar fans have been led to believe it's a decade to turn things around, honestly, right? Mm-hmm. With the occasional, everything will fall into place for one season like it did in 2017. That it doesn't have to be that way. But at the same time, Dave, just because you get that many swings at it, we pointed out over the years, Tony, Detroit, I mean, Cleveland for the most part. Now, recently they've been better, but we're decades-long perpetual losers. For the, even with Barry Sanders, they were not a fixture in the playoffs or having any playoff success. So there's no guarantee that they do get it right with this regime in place.
And I would have said, usually once you find your quarterback, like, that is a big boost for you getting wins.
I still think it is.
But the Lions had Stafford for a while there and still weren't playoff bound. But I think we're, I don't want to say closer than we look, but we are, I believe. I think if you can bring in the right skill players to put around Trevor – defense seems to be playing much better. They're going to need somebody. Once again, we got always are looking for a pass rusher. They're going to look for another guy that can rush the passer. But that's somebody you can find. You can find a pass rusher, you know, in free agency. You can find a pass rusher. I'm not saying it like they're just everywhere. Sure. But you can find that guy, and you got that piece. Because you're trying to focus now on offense, in my mind. Defense, you can add a couple pieces and hope they're just 15th in the league to 20th in the league, and you're okay. Because if you can get your offense to now jump up to 15th in the league as far as overall stuff, that's a bunch more wins. Plus, you got your quarterback who, going into his third year, should be playing way more lights out with a more complement of skill players around him.
Let's hope. Rick in St. Augustine is next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Rick.
Just, you know, most disappointing is Herb's lack of understanding and knowledge of what's going on with the football team. The thing about James Robinson not being on the field for 16 plays yesterday, just deferring to the OC. I think, you know, we started off, had Travis Etienne been able to play all year, I think we would be having a totally different discussion about the way the offense is operating. That guy, you know, potentially the number one guy on the field, and you hate to say it, but I think we got to be patient, get the guys we drafted. We've had so many injuries this year again, but, you know, the lack of discipline with the stupid penalties that cost us points. I mean, it wasn't just yesterday. It's been all season long. That's a head coach thing. That he needs to ratchet them down. And you know, I don't think you can fine players for stupidity, but I guess Coughlin tried it. It didn't work out. But, man, these guys, they're professional athletes. Robinson Harris, who did the cost us the 15-yard penalty, he should know better than that. I mean, the guy's got to know the rules. Right, David? I mean,
absolutely.
It's so frustrating to watch stupid mistakes like that occur again and again. Lining offsides. I mean, come on. So, just that's it. I hate saying being patient. I think we got a good coach. I think he's going to let Bevel stay next year. I hope Travis Etienne gets back on the field, and hopefully we get a real good playmaker. I don't want to say it, but in the draft next year.
All right. Hey, thank you, Rick. Look, you may be right, but I just hate to think that, oh my gosh, oh, if only this rookie who's never played a single down in the NFL were here. You know what I mean? Like, that guy should be a complimentary piece to what you're building here. It shouldn't be like, man, if we lose him who's never played a snap. And by the way, is it going to be touching it 20 times a game?
Nope.
Right? Based on what they envision for him, it's just a frustrating position to be in. Let me just quickly, before I forget, because I was thinking about this about James Robinson, see if you agree with this, Dave, as a guy who's been through many off seasons. James Robinson, to me, you know, we never could figure out what don't they like about James Robinson, it appeared. You know, even with the ETN thing, if you thought they could be used in tandem, that's fine. But then when the season starts, they're not treating him like a workhorse. What are you not seeing that the rest of us are seeing? So I'm listening to Dan and Jeff talk about this, and we've all talked about it over and over. Is it just possible? I mean, this guy, the style of James Robinson cannot be appreciated unless you're playing in a game, right? Because if you're playing in practice, he's not going to be running away from everybody, yeah, right? Nobody. He's not going to be breaking tackles because nobody's really tackling. They thought him up on a handful of practices, but you can't appreciate what James Robinson brings to the table until you see him on Sunday afternoon and you give him 18, 20, 25 touches, and you see over time that, damn, you know what? He's pushing that pile 90% of the time. He's getting extra yardage almost all the damn time. And I just wonder if they just, in their fixation with we need speed, and I get it, we all want speed on the roster, is it just possible that you can't appreciate what James Robinson is if you haven't been around him based on the way off seasons are set up?
Yeah, I think coaches definitely look at guys, and when you go through the offseason, like you said, it's real hard to flash if you're not flashy. ETN, make three or four guys miss and then run for 80 yards, and you're like, wow, like that just pops out at you. But for somebody like James Robinson, who's just steady Eddie and is getting 5 yards a clip, that's really hard to do. And so, but you don't see that until you start playing games. Then you almost get away with it because you got your shiny new toy in Trevor and you want to let him rip it all over the field. And then, you know, you're 5 games in, you're like, oh, well, maybe we need to start feeding James more.
And then you fall behind, though, in games, and then you abandon the run and all these different
all
things.
All those things. And they say stuff like, well, when Hyde comes in, he's just as good. He is not.
No,
he is not just as good. There's a clear difference in the two.
All right, got to take a quick time out. We'll come back. More of your calls. I got to say, we say it a lot. Appreciate the passion, Tony.
Yep.
The fact that you got a 2-9 football team with the misery that you have sat through for as many years as you have as Jaguar fans, and the fact that we come in on a Monday and you still care enough to weigh in, even if it's out of anger or frustration, you care enough at this point in the season. Appreciate the hell out of you, Jaguar fans. No doubt about that. We all do here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, we're not breaking down the free agent class, so you know. We can cheat on our own rules, by the way. We can mention free agency. Tony just looked at cap space for next year. How much do the Jags have?
The Jaguars have $71.5 million in cap space.
That includes all the rollover unused from this year projected, which puts them third in the league in cap space. We need an offseason like 2017.
Yeah.
I mean, Clayes Campbell, somehow they convinced him that he could win here. Right?
Yeah.
And
you can convince when you got enough cash.
This is true, right? I mean, they give him a lot of money. We were just saying, Dave and I were talking on the break, like about Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne's just like, you look at him, he's like, he's okay, he's all right. And he's out there, and then you watch him getting his opportunity here in New England, and he's running away from guys, turning the corner and going to the house from like over 50 yards away. And it's like, we don't have a guy that can do that right now in this wide receiver core. And I'm not saying Kendrick Bourne is the answer. You don't want him at the top of your wide receiver core.
They're not asking him to be a number one. They're just saying, hey, we're gonna find you.
They don't have a great wide receiver core, I don't think.
They have enough guys.
They have like 1 week it can be Aguilar, 1 week it can be Bourne, 1 week it can be Jacoby Myers. They have the tight ends, like you said. They run the ball fairly effectively.
How's their offensive line?
They have the best defense in the league. They have the number one defense in the league right now, and you know, and all of a sudden now everyone's convinced it's New England and Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. And if you want to get the conspiracy theorist fired
that's
up,
crazy.
It will. That will.
That
do
is crazy.
Right there.
New England Buffalo next week's going to be fun.
Maybe I don't know if it's fun is what I'd call it, but yes, I
as an NFL fan, that's fun.
It is absolutely consequential and dramatic. Steve in Melbourne next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Okay, what's on your mind?
All right, I would have brought up the James Robinson thing, but we've barked down that door so many damn times. It's just frustrating and exhausting now. My two positives from yesterday, hard to find some. Dan Arnold gets hurt. James O'Shaughnessy comes in, catches everything that's thrown to him. So I was happy about that. And Tyson Campbell, proven he belongs in the NFL, proven us all wrong that he's not a bust. But I got to ask Dave this question because he played quarterback. That final play, Trevor looks down the field, throws the ball. Apparently, LaVisca Chenault zigged when he should have zagged. And they did a close-up on his face. He actually rolled his eyes and looked disgusted. I mean, that is concerning to me. And as a rookie, maybe not wanting to say too much, when do you think you should be able, as a starting off quarterback, Dave, that you can actually, I'm not going to say go Tom Brady and like yell at their face or anything like that, because he does that, but he's earned that right. When do you think somebody like Trevor could just open up and maybe show his frustration, like, why aren't we on the same page?
That's a great question. He can do it at any time now. I mean, he's been the starter here all year. He's the, you know, franchise guy. I don't think it's in his personality to do that, but I think he will have a discussion with them, you know, during the week or right afterwards to get them both on the same page. He's not trying to, you know, belittle guys. He's not trying to jump them during the game because that's not how he is. He's a calm, cool, collected guy. I mean, I'm sure he'll let you know, but I don't think you're ever going to see him get too fired up and jump in somebody's face.
And that may change, Dave, over time, right? I mean,
yeah,
I still think
it may change. Like, his personality can change.
Well, and just in terms of his performance level, I think you have to be coming from a place where you can't have the finger pointed back at you too often, right? Like, Tom Brady can yell at anybody he wants and flash 7 Super Bowl rings and be like, what?
Yeah.
What? You're going to say what? I mean, Trevor Lawrence still makes his own share of mistakes.
Yes.
So I think it's a tough position for a rookie to be in to do that.
Which is why, you know, a rookie usually doesn't do that because they're still learning so much. And, you know, you're a 4-year vet, 5-year vet, whatever it is. It's like it's really hard for a rookie to just come in and just have those kind of cojones. But as he continues, he can't think about, well, I'm making mistakes too, so I can't get on guys. That's not how it is. Unfortunately, quarterbacks, we're going to make mistakes, but we need you to not make mistakes, especially in those situations. Because as a quarterback, we're always going to have the ball in our hands. We're always going to have an opportunity to make up for our mistakes. Where you're a receiver, you may get, what, 3-4 chances here? So you really have to be able to be on your game. You at least be on your game enough to where you ran the right depth to where you can attempt to get the ball into your hands. When you run 5 yards past where you're supposed to break down, that's a big blunder on your end, and that's why you saw him roll his eyes and think, well, what did he expect me to do there? Hold the ball for another 2 seconds so he could go down 5 yards past the first down?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Matt Ryan could do that, but not Trevor. He didn't have that kind of time.
All right, let's go to Jason in Ponte Vedra next on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
All right. What's up, man?
Good. Hey, so Jags 9-10 losing seasons. Is it? What's the issue with not being, you know, the quarterback's not playing good? Well, I know it's not all of his fault, but changing it up a little bit, putting somebody else in, see if they give you a spark to win a damn football game. What's the problem?
It's the problem.
The next guy isn't as good as him.
Not nearly as good.
Yeah, and I've said before, guys can come off the bench and they can give you a good little spark here and there. But these coaches are looking for Trevor to make these sparks, to come up with these sparks. And they want to make sure he has all the opportunities this year to do that, because it's not like he's playing pathetic. You can see when a quarterback is struggling out there. Cam was struggling out there. I mean, it was just awful. This guy is still learning while he's playing, and he's not playing that terrible. If he had better weapons, he'd be even better. Now, we are looking for him. Last drive, 2 minute, like everything was just laid out there just perfect. You would expect to get down the field and do a little bit better than just stay right there on the same yard line and not get any kind of completions, not get anything moving forward. But that's why you want him out there in those situations, so he can learn in those moments. If he's not out there and C.J. Beathard is doing it, he's not learning anything other than, oh, wow, maybe I could have done that. Maybe we should do this. But he's not getting those reps to be able to feel and learn it.
Said it before, and I will continue to stand by this. Until I believe Trevor Lawrence is losing any level of confidence, then I'm not even considering it.
No,
me personally. And I haven't seen a glimmer of that. Me, you know, everyone can feel how they want about it. That's how I feel about it. I would run him out there. I want him to get – I take all the bad that's coming over these next 6 weeks and, you know, hopefully – like you said, learn from it, build up your base, have a lot to draw on in the future.
If our record was a little different, like we're in the hunt.
If we were like Miami last year, we're like, oh man, Fitzpatrick's coming in, they're saving games, they're winning games. What do? We owe it to the team. Different story.
Different story. This is a year where he is going to learn the good and the bad, and a lot bad is happening.
Yeah, that doesn't mean we don't want him to win games. We do want him to win games. No, they want to win games.
But we want him to have that opportunity right there in a two-minute drive. Is what we've practiced all offseason.
No doubt.
During the year, this is an opportunity for him to go do it. He didn't do it. That's all right, but he's learning from it, and he's going to hopefully get better as the year goes on and going into the upcoming seasons.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. We got to take a timeout. Final one here. We'll come back with more of your responses to the question today, simply asking you what is your reaction to the Jaguars' 21-14 loss to the Falcons yesterday. With Tony Smith, David Garrard, and E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, the question of the day, driven by Maserati Jacksonville. Come experience uncompromising luxury at Maserati Jacksonville.
What a chair dancing breaking out on that one there.
Yeah, dance the pain away sometimes.
All right. I think only... Oh, E.T., very nice. A little air guitar on that as well. All right. The question of the day, presented by Maserati Jacksonville, asking you what is your reaction to the Jaguars' performance yesterday. It happened to be a 21-14 loss to the Atlanta Falcons. We've got them stacked up, so let's continue to go to the phone lines here. And if we don't get to them, we appreciate all the social media response as well. You can always check it out on our timelines there and commiserate with your fellow Jaguar fans. Mike on the south side, next up on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, good morning, guys. Hey, I'll get right to it. Y'all were talking about why aren't they giving the ball to James Robinson more. Well, look who's calling the play. Devil's the guy who didn't give the ball to Marshawn Lynch when it mattered. I mean, this guy has got to go.
Okay, thanks, Mike. I mean, that's been brought up countless times on the Marshawn Lynch thing, but still true.
There are some coordinators, coaches, that prefer to do one thing over the other. I mean, if you just look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and when Reed was with the Eagles, they wanted to throw the ball all the time. Hardly have any run game. Just throw it, throw it, throw it.
He got heavily criticized in Philadelphia for
Oh, my gosh, yeah, absolutely. So you're going to have some coordinators that are going to lean more towards passing it than they should. I just think Bevel has to realize what kind of skill players he has and has to lean on the run game more. But you can't have your players making dumb mistakes and penalties and can't run the right route at the right depth, and your offensive line is jumping offsides but not offsides, and then just standing there and not competing. So you can't have all these mistakes going on around when you're trying to run the ball and be physical, because when it's second and 15 or third and 12, now you don't
now you gotta
throw it, and it's not what you want to do. So the team has to play better. The coaches have to get on the guys to stop making these dumb mistakes.
All right. Thank you for the call there. Let's go to Jason in Ponte Vedra. Didn't we just take – I thought we had Jason last segment. Am I wrong about that?
I don't know.
It's a different
one.
Okay. Jason in Ponte Vedra. My bad. Jason, go ahead, man. Maybe he was. That's what I thought. Marcus in Mandarin up next here on Jaguars Today. Hello, Marcus.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up?
I got a two-part comment. I'm going to try to make it quick as possible. People need to understand that C.J. Beathard is here for emergency purposes only, meaning if Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, then he'll get some snaps and he'll come in the game and play. Under no circumstances are you playing C.J. Beathard right now over Trevor Lawrence. This man is still learning. He is a first-year quarterback in the NFL. Second comment, y'all need to understand that Urban Meyer was given scraps and told to make a castle out of scraps, okay? This thing is not going to be built in 1 year. So all of you people that's down on Trevor Lawrence and down on Urban Meyer need to just pump your brakes and understand what's really going on here. This thing is going to take some time to be built. It's going to take some time. It might be next year. It might be the year after next year. But y'all have to just breathe a little bit and understand. I'm a Jaguar fan, and I'm frustrated too. 12 seasons and only one win since Shaq, one winning season since Shaq has been owner. Trust me, I get it. But we all have to calm down and realize the bigger picture and what's going on. This man is going to build something here. I believe it. I believe in Trevor Lawrence. And cut it out with the whole starting the C.J. Beathard thing. Y'all have a good day, and I'm out.
All right, Marcus, I agreed with some of that. I have total confidence in Trevor Lawrence. I'm not down on Trevor, like, in terms of what he's going to turn out to be. I don't know what Urban Meyer is going to turn out to be, because every time he talks, it makes me wonder what the hell he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lawrence talks, and you're like, I feel better about it every single time I hear him talk and explain what's his thought process, what is going on, how he's handling himself, how he's handling his teammates. And Urban Meyer's up there going, I don't know, ask the other coach, ask this guy. I have no idea what's happening.
When's he going to start building?
I mean,
I'd like to see it.
Oh, by the way, look, and I get it. Maybe he's just trying to project something, but you choose to project. We're going to win now. We're ready to win now. We're not waiting. All right, that's Urban Meyer talking.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what you want to put out there. If everyone had said, if you had said, hey, look, we're going to do our best to win as many games as possible, but let's be, you know, we're coming off a 1-15 season. We got to build this thing up to where we want it, but we're heading in the right direction. We got a great centerpiece in Trevor Lawrence. He chose to say, no. We're not waiting. We're winning now. I refuse to believe we can't win now. Well, okay, maybe learn the league a little bit better you make that comment.
I was just about to say, he got in here and has played college, you know, been a coach for college football for so long, and he can just get the good talent out there and just right away start balling. And then he got here. It's like, no, what do you mean? Rebuild. Yeah. We're ready to play now. We're going to go win.
What do you mean on the street? What do you mean a guy's on the street? Yeah, on the street.
And then the season started, and he's like, oh, wait, we are rebuilding.
A month into the year, but we did a deep dive on Miles Jack and learned that he plays better.
We'd already figured that out.
Right.
That was already established.
Everyone knew that. So there are – I have much less confidence that Urban Meyer is going to get things going.
So we don't know how Urban is going to be. Hopefully he gets better as he continues to coach. But – yes, he cannot backtrack now and say, oh, wait, you know what, guys, we are rebuilding. I take all the other stuff back. So he has to continue to fight forward. We have to understand, just like the caller said, we can be frustrated. We're not winning. And at times we don't look that good. But it is building for the future. I know people don't want to hear that always, but it is. And I would say this time next year, you're looking at it. Hopefully we've gone through an offseason with good drafts, good free agents. You can then really critique. I mean, people are going to critique now, but you can really have your critique of the coaching staff, of Trevor, of everybody out there, because they've done it for a year and they've had the opportunity to work out all the kinks, and now we just need this position to play better and that position to play better, and then Trevor can play better. So I'm frustrated because I want to watch a team go out and have a chance to win every week, and we're not there, unfortunately. But I won't be so calm next year.
All right.
Yeah.
You've
fired
been warned.
Up. Yeah.
Let's get Doug in St. Augustine. Last one here that we have time for this morning. Doug, good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning. I just want to ask you guys, I know we passed the buck along to – where's the blame go? We look at Urban Meyer, look at the receivers and all the drop passes. When do we start holding the front end office on? Let's say Trent Baalke. When does his name start getting brought into the picture? When we start looking at player quality, the people that we have on our team currently right now, just like we had last year, these are all helpful. These are all chosen, I think, with Trent Baalke on hand. So when do we hold him accountable?
Oh, look, we brought it up in the first hour of the show. Trent Baalke, it's not one aspect of the team, unfortunately, that's failing.
Throw a dart, you're hitting something that needs to be fixed.
Yes,
they're
absolutely
terrible.
But I will say this about Trent Baalke. If Urban Meyer chose to defer all the personnel decisions to him, that's still an Urban Meyer decision to do that. He is in charge of this team. There's no question who's in charge of this franchise. And so everything, ultimately, the Bucs going to stop there. And, yes, Trent Baalke, I mean, look, some of the additions he's made have been pretty positive, right? Others, not so much. We don't know how Travis Etienne would have worked out in the draft. You know, we're happy with how Tyson Campbell played yesterday, but it haven't been, for the most part. Walker Little hasn't forced himself into the starting lineup. Andre Sisco can't get on the field. You know, these are some of your high premium draft picks, and it is what it is right now. Yeah, he deserves some
critique. Absolutely does, and that's where I still – I just have a lot of patience on me, so I'm just thinking you got to be patient enough with these guys. The real criticism, the real critique comes in next season because they should be light years better than where they are
now. Here's the thing. I don't want to hear next, oh, what do you expect? They're coming off a 3-14
No. You don't get any of that. No passes going into next year.
All right,
no passes.
Say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit TireOutlet.com/careers. Equal opportunity employer.
All right, Joe Cowart's here for XL Primetime. Hello, Joe.
Hello, hello.
Just more Jaguar misery.
Yeah, I still have gravy. Around. That's the only thing that's making me happy right now.
You still have what?
Still have gravy. Some gravy left over.
Oh, from Thanksgiving.
This is the last night. I will probably crush one more turkey leg.
You know, I've much more. Potatoes. We end up with more ham left over than we do turkey because we always do one of each. You know, but. Had a great time at the in-laws last Thursday. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving as well.
We fried them and baked them. It was all good.
All right. So what are you guys getting into today?
We're going to try and fry and bake some Jags. And look, there's a lot of college football movement. Billy Napier hired in Gainesville. Lincoln Riley leaves Oklahoma to go to USC. So we're going to do a lot of college football and then all the obvious, the stuff that you guys have gotten in on, either poor coaching decisions, just such a sloppy football team. Just too many penalties at the worst possible time. It's become a Jaguar way. It really has. So anyway, we'll hammer the.
I would just stick to the college football.
It's not going to make you any happier.
It's bad.
You know, the cut yesterday about hey, Urban, was James Robinson not playing because of the fumble? You'll have to ask Bev and Bernie. Yeah. Like real, you don't know what you don't know why your best player is not in the game for 16 straight
plays.
Yeah,
for that amount of time. A dozen and a half plays nearly.
At no point does it dawn on you, but maybe he knows Carlos Hyde's family, so it's all good.
Oh, it drives you crazy. And look at the number of carries. I don't know if I have it right here, but the number of carries that James Robinson had before the fumble. It was a huge number, 352 carries before that first fumble.
Oh, right. In terms of how great he is with ball
in other
security.
Words,
sure.
In other words, you shouldn't have any problem putting him back in.
Yeah, you shouldn't be punishing him.
Right. I mean, like, you don't want him to fumble, but hey, dude, all right, you know, hang on to the football, but thank God you're here.
Yeah.
All right. Joe, have a good show today.
All right, fellas.
Along with the XL Primetime crew, Joe Cowart, for the next 3 hours here on 1010XL. Dave, anything special lined up this week?
I'm going to keep trying to figure out how the Jags can get a win.
All right, if you
and
figure it out, call me,
just keep it to
please.
Myself.
Yeah. Call me. Dave's like, I'm going to be a candidate for the next head coach of yours.
No, I want to say, I want to keep my likeness here in Jacksonville positive.
If you find that out, though, you'd be the most popular. I mean, you're already popular, but you'd be the most popular man in the city of Jacksonville. All right, that'll do it for us today. For Tony Smith, for David Garrard, for E.T., I'm Mike Dempsey. Hang in there, Jaguar fans, because what is the alternative, right? Well, tomorrow – we'll look at the tape through the eyes of Jeff Locke. We will check it. We may burn it later, but we'll check it first. Then we'll do that and continue on because that's what we do. And, oh, my God, what would you give right now for a win this upcoming week compared to – I'll hand you five L's the rest of the season after that if I could just get one against Jalen Ramsey. Don't think it's going to happen.
That'd be a great question for the fans tomorrow.
Right. What would you accept not only over the next five games – but take all of next season into account as well. Out of the next 22 games after the LA game, how many of those would you keep your mouth shut and whatever the win total is if you were able to get a win over the Rams? For me, it'd probably be pretty high. All right, that'll do it for us. XL Primetime is next. Have a good day, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Joe Jacksonville.